हेलो। हेलो। Warten noch auf die anderen. Falls wir heute noch mehr werden, werden wir sehen. Okay, then we can start. And for the recording, we switch to English, so that everyone can follow these meetings. And yeah, I see you. We have different members from the group here today. Unfortunately, our backend developer maybe cannot attend the meeting because he's on vacation. But I talked with him after his vacation that he can discuss with us the new design of the harvester that we plan. But today we have other points that we can discuss here in this group. So, and yeah, let's start. The first point is from Hebes. And yeah, I don't know who would like to talk about this from you. So if I take over to you, it's okay.
Yeah, I can start. We have a short, briefly report from Kassel. We have a project. We would like to work on the e-usage plugin with our partners Hebes and Index Data, and we are just in the early stages. So I can say we will focus on correcting existing errors in the calculation of costs per use, for example, or we would like to enable use over time and cost per use analysis for databases and ebooks. We will work on the visualization. And yeah, I think when we are at a later point of our project, we can talk about it again.
And at the moment, you are defining the issues in Jira. Yeah. And it's the additional component from usage in agreements, where you can see the calculations. And yeah, it's very good that you have the resources for that. And yeah, Bernd, what's your question?
Yeah, I noticed that there are different cases for e-journals in the main ticket about different order items and invoices for an e-journal. I'm wondering, is that just something that happens for e-journals that also should happen for databases and ebooks?
Yes, but we only defined it for e-journals because there we can test this already. And with databases and ebooks, we just want to enable it in the first step, and these cases should work with it as well when we are further in the project.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and I think it's good when we have one group for usage and not two subgroups. And we can split the meetings one time for usage reports, and with the other meeting that we have one meeting for usage and one meeting for usage reports, but in one subgroup. So with the but if it's not enough points for one topic, then we can also merge the meetings. But I think that makes more sense at the next year when you're already with your issues, and then we can discuss the issues together here in this group. Or is it more an internal discussion at Havis?
We are not so sure about it, but yeah, our project is the functionalities we need are developed, and additional features we cannot provide them because we're not sure if our budget is okay with that.
Okay,
But
that.
we want if you have any ideas, you can give them. And we are checking if it's possible or not.
Oh, it's okay. It's also okay if you just make reports here in this group. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, what's the timeline for the project?
It seems we're not sure. I think Index Data mentioned that they want to finish the issues, the tickets, by the end of the month. But I'm not sure when development, how long it will take. I'm not sure.
The plan is umbrella leave.
Okay, and development is by Index Data, is that correct? Okay, and your contact person is Cyrus?
Cyrus Masumi, yes.
And you, Linda?
No, not really. We are the he's the technical part. The three of us are the
Subject matter
sub
experts.
yes,
Okay.
but for external contact, it's Cyrus.
Cyrus. Okay. Cyrus. Okay. Okay. And we can communicate that everyone that has questions about the application can contact Cyrus. Or it's more also for me, because I get some questions about usage via Slack, and if it's part of usage reports, can I say that they can contact Cyrus?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. We can also create or redesign the page of the subgroup. Here. Where we can add the contact person for usage reports at the main page, and we can also add the additional informations here at this page for the product description, where we have the product components of usage You can find the usage reports component, and then we can also add here the new UX prod issue from Jira, and yeah, I can also add here an information that Cirrus is a contact person for that. So, and I'm not sure the product owner for the development is Charlotte Witt. Is that correct? Okay. But the way is to contact Cyrus and Cyrus contact Charlotte Witt. So yeah, the release dates are not available at the moment for all releases. So that's very frustrating. But in every meeting from the product owners, we yeah raise the pressure to the release manager that he give us a new release date for the new releases for Folio, but he doesn't have a plan for that at the moment. So, but in official feature freeze is in until the end of the year. So, and that means umbrella leave is a good start point for the first features for usage reports. And maybe the release date of Umbrella Leaf is in this end of the summer in the next year, I guess, or later. And I think it's a good time frame for the development to get the first features in usage reports because it's very complex. So, and maybe do you have to redesign the back end? So,
Yeah, I'm wondering why this works for journals but not for databases and ebooks. Is this related to the matching, or do you have an idea what the problem is?
yes, some of the issues are for databases. The reason is matching, because it only works with title reports, not with database reports. And for ebooks, we don't know. Matching works, but no data is sent to the plugin in e-management. We just don't see any calculations there.
Yeah, if you export the data from the plugin or from the agreements app, you only get zeros.
Yes.
Yeah, that's also my experience. I've noticed that when we've initially tested, and I assume we used an ebook package at that time, and later I've always tested with journals and was wondering why it suddenly works, but I wasn't aware of that problem.
Yeah, it's a very large project, I think. So, and Index Data is a good partner to do this, and it's also developed by Index Data when we started with this part of usage, and the first step was with index data because the requirements were discussed at the SLUB, the regional library of Saxony in Germany, and they defined the issues how it should develop in portfolio. And yeah, you have to see it was a first draft how it could work, and now we see in in a productive use that that there are some failures and we have to do a redesign of the back end to to match titles, then to calculate the amounts for cost per use, and then also the counts for use over time, and it's very complex because you have an crossover, querying for data from different apps. And what I saw was that they collect all this data in one database together, and then they calculate all the values. And I hope that could works, and I hope I can see a very good application at the end from this project.
Yeah, that's the technical aspect. The when we had those discussions about calculating cost per use for the National Statistics Server, we in the end we decided not to do that. There were all kinds of different requirements because institutions calculate this differently based on the current year data or the previous year data and all kinds of different calculations. So you've agreed essentially with the other Hebes libraries how this should be done, or is this specific for CASEL?
At the moment, it is specific for a CASEL only.
Yeah, then we could have interesting discussions in the future about how this actually should be calculated.
So, okay, I think that's enough for this time. And if you have more information, you can give a report here in this group. And if you need a separate meeting time, then you can contact me via Slack, and then we find a time slot, and or you create your own date for a meeting and communicate this via Slack. And I think we should move to this point because it's related to the new plugin or the new version of the plugin. Bernd, can you talk more about this requirement here? It was a discussion with the providers about the ISBN.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, there was a discussion about whether Counter should allow to provide the ISBNs without hyphens. There are actually good reasons for that. For example, if you do matching, you usually remove the hyphens before that. Because if the hyphenation is wrong, you won't get a match. And so, but the current specification says it has to be hyphens, and removing them would require changes in the client system. So this would be a breaking change, which cannot be done under the rules, under the counter rules for making changes before release 5.2, which is not due before 2030. So this is nothing. I don't think this is anything we have to worry about at the moment. Of course, you have to worry about wrong hyphen positions in the ISBNs, especially the middle ones, of course. The other ones are fixed. So you have to deal with data that you get from providers where the hyphens are wrong, the hyphen positions are wrong. But I assume for the matching, the hyphens would be removed anyway. So this shouldn't affect the matching.
Yes, I found a ticket on that. Yes.
So this is a discussion. I think this will be further discussed, but this is nothing we can change at the moment because it would be a budget change.
If the
Actually, that's my opinion as a member of the core team. I should put it that way. I don't think the other members would agree and override that opinion to remove the hyphens. I at least I hope so, because that would violate our own rules.
In usage, we validate the ISBN. So, and if you need another way to do this, then we can change this process. But if it's done, then we can talk more about this point and have to see is it a problem for the matching between usage data and the knowledge base. But it's more a technical problem. So, and if index data says they need a new way to get the ISBN from usage to create the calculations because the matching not working, then you're open to editing this part of usage, and but if it's not, then we can leave it as it is.
Yeah, I think one important point, not regarding ISBN, but the matching would be to also use some of at least some of the proprietary IDs in the reports, because our idea that is for at least for the National Statistics Server to in the end that would require a number of steps, but in the end. To deliver reports with GoKeBeUU UUIDs for the titles, which would make the matching much easier and much more precise. But that of course would require support for matching against some of the proprietary IDs at least in the report, because there's of course no GoKeBeUU UUID element in the reports, but a GoKeBeUU UUID could be transported in the proprietary ID field for the titles.
That sounds like a fallback solution, no? If it's they're not a GoKeBeUU ID, then use another ID.
Yeah, but the other, yeah, that would be one approach. The other thing is that the data providers actually should include the proprietary their own proprietary IDs that are also included in the KBOT files, also in the usage as proprietary IDs, if they use a proprietary ID. So that could also be something that could be used for matching. And of course, you have to be aware that you sometimes get wrong data. In this case, I've seen cases where all the titles on the platform had the same proprietary ID, which is a really bad idea. Yeah, I would really recommend to look into also using or having a way of using a proprietary IDs for matching.
From our side, from usage, we collect the data, and if you need a new form from of identifiers, then you can talk with us, and then we can find a solution for this.
Yeah, actually, I don't think you drop any data, so you would have the proprietary identifiers. You only would have to identify the namespace, which is used for them for reporting them, and then you could simply use them for matching.
I saw the most problems with the matching, and in most cases, the identifiers not matched with the identifiers in the local knowledge base, and that's the main part. And if there are some changes in the validation, then we can talk about this.
Yeah, this actually doesn't affect the validation. The validation should already work. The way that this is currently done, you can have any number of proprietary identifiers in a report. You just have to use separate namespaces for them. And I assume we at least we would have a common namespace for these GoGBUU identifiers that we deliver with our reports. So that should work. It's different maybe if you want to get a data provider to actually include the GoGBUU UIDs in their reports by default. That's more difficult. If they deliver data to the GoGBUU, maybe they would be willing to do that. If they don't deliver data to the GoGBUU, that's very unlikely to happen. So we have to enrich that data with the GoGBUU UIDs. The idea, of course, is if you can simply match in folio based on the GoGBUU UID and you're using the GoGBUU as knowledge base, then you essentially don't have to do any matching. Yeah. And at least we could do that matching in the National Statistics Service in a central platform where everybody could take part in cleaning up data if that's really necessary. In a similar way, the GoGBUU is cleaning up the data and getting the reference titles right.
I see there is a new requirement at the horizon to add a GoKB ID to a report in usage. Okay, but we can talk about this later, but if it's necessary, then we can also create a feature for this in usage later to create a GoKB ID to a report after it's downloaded from the provider.
Yeah, but well, if you do the matching, you have the GoGBUU UID if you use the GoGBUU as knowledge base. So that's essentially not a new feature. The question is just if you want to download the data, that you take the GoGBUU UID and put it in the export. So that might be the only requirement.
Okay. So, when there are some news about this point, next year or?
No, I hope it doesn't take that long to clean this up. This was a discussion of the advisory committee, so we have to go back to the advisory committee and tell them that this is not really possible at the moment. That we will put it in the backlog for next major release.
That's great.
Then the usual timeline would be that the new specification would be published at least 18 months before the new specification becomes the current one. So there should be enough time in that case to actually adapt the folio to that change if it's done in 5.2.
And 5.2. Do you have a time frame?
No, the only time frame we have is that it cannot happen, that each release needs to last at least 5 years. So 5.1 is in effect since 2025. So the earliest we could introduce a new major release would be 2030. That doesn't mean that we will do it in 2030, but we could. But we can't do it before that time. So That's why I said it's not happening before 2030.
Okay. And it's not counter six.
No,
It's
no. There will there, unless we completely change report formats or something like that, there will be no counter six.
okay. That's the.
It's five, counter five is the major one, and we have three digits behind, after the five. We at the moment we have 5. Oh, we have released 5.1. Now we have 5.101. That's a fixed release. And the next will either be 5.102 or more likely 5.11, which would be a feature release, but that would be backward compatible.
Okay.
There would be new features that would be optional. So you would explicitly have to request, for example, specific data to get that. And if you don't do that, nothing will change.
Oh, that sounds good that we have time. So, because we implemented the 5.1 version, so that release, and it was a very big rock for us in the development team, because we have to review all the specifications, and I started with the redesign for 5.1, and as a product owner, and it was very a lot to do, and we had only 3 months to do this, and it was not very good. So because and that this was the background why we support 5.1 over different releases. But with Trillium, we finished our work, and we implemented all features that you need to use Counter 5.1. We started in Remsons to implement the harvester function. Then in Sunflower, you have the possibility to harvest the 5.1 reports. And with Trillium, you have additional functionality like the manual upload of 5.1 reports. And in these days, you get also a new functionality where all the manual uploads were validated. And if it's not an valid report, then you get a model where you can see there is a failure with your, or if you upload an invalid report, then you get a model where you can see the information, what was going wrong with the upload. And then you have the decision to upload another report, or you can analyze all the errors from the system. And it's not at the button with a green label. So you have more time to analyze the errors.
That's just for uploading JSON reports or also for uploading tabular reports, because that's a completely different validation.
It's all implemented. We have implemented the JSON format in Sunflower, and now you have the options for CSV, TSV, and you can also see, let me see the issue. iOS.
Yeah, I'm asking because the validation of the tabular reports is much more tricky.
So here, that's the model. Then you can see what was going wrong, and then you have the option. You can select another file to upload, or you can abort this process. And in usage, you can see this at snapshot. You have a list of all possible formats for each release. Usage here. So here. upload counter report, and now you see that's it's a new design of the upload form, and here you have a list of all possible counter release versions and which format you can upload for which release.
Why is Excel only supported for 5.1? If you have a component that can parse Excel files, that could also be used for counter five.
Yeah, we discussed this in the development team, and our backend developer only implemented this format for 5.1. And the reason is he created an validation tool for the backend, and you can also use this to upload, I think, via the API. And then you get a response from the API if there is a failure in the upload. And it's a structured failure from the backend and as a JSON format. And there you can see, let's see, that is.
Yeah, I'm asking because usually you would use the some component to actually parse the Excel CSV and TSV files in the same internal representation and then run the validation on that. The
Yeah.
only difference is that you can have things like date formats in an Excel file, which is not recommended by Counter. That could happen, for example, for the monthly columns. So you have to convert that. That's the only tricky part in my opinion, because I've written the validation for counter. I had to also deal with that.
Okay. So yeah, that's the
Yeah.
backend,
If
and here you can see the structured response from the backend if there was something going wrong, and we have different error codes from the backend, and you can see the typical errors that we have at the moment, and all others are with the error code other, but we can also add other error codes if it's needed. So here is an example. If the file size exceeds the maximum allowed size, then you get a detailed information from the backend, and that's all. Also, the information that we give you in the UI from Usage Insight Folio. But if you would like to upload this via the endpoint from the API, then you also get this response if there is a failure. Okay. Yeah, that's also the point that we have here in the roadmap app update. That is the last feature for Trillium that we implemented, and all other features are moved to the other releases from Folio. And in the next release, the redesign of the harvest is the top priority, because all other issues for improve the COP error code handling is blocked by this backend development.
Yeah, since the developer currently isn't in the meeting, I've looked at this the draft. The main concern, as you mentioned, was that there could be an endless loop. And I noticed that this has been, well, somewhat fixed for exception 1020, or should that you have an idea how this should be fixed. That's
Yeah.
in the requirements document. And I'm wondering if it should be possible to fix exception 1000 and 1010 in the same way. I think that would make sense. The only one where we really have to think about is then the report queued for processing. because that's a tricky one. You have to re-request the report within a specific time, and but it could happen depending on how the system of the usage data host works, that you get a lot of these responses for a long time. That's not what usually happens, but it can happen. We had some cases which took 3 days to actually fetch a report.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure if it's an a general solution for all harvesting in usage. So and or should we create a setting for each provider? So that's an idea that I had in the past, and I'm not sure if that makes sense. And I also have to talk about this with the backend developer, but maybe it could also a solution to say, okay, it's very different from provider to provider, and we have to define the settings for each provider. Yeah.
It shouldn't be. Actually, we have in the National Statistics Office, we have some provider-specific rules. Because, for example, we noticed that for some providers, in some cases, we get the service not available exception. And that's actually not true because if you run multiple requests in parallel, you get answers for the other ones, but not for that one. And in those cases, we ignore that, simply ignore that errors and retry. But that's very specific. For that provider, I don't think you want to get into actually setting your own rules for all kinds of exceptions for different providers because that gets really complex. So maybe you could do something like, okay, how many retries and what interval do we retry for a specific provider? For
Okay, yeah.
example, yeah, I know of one provider, if you use the retry for the exception 1010 too aggressively, you at some point will get an exception 1020, too many requests, which actually is wrong. It tells you should try the next day, but you can try a few minutes later. But they simply want to discourage too many retries for getting a report. But that's, of course, not how this exception should be used. So we can always go and talk to the usage data host if something like that happens, but it can take a long time to fix such issues.
Yeah, it makes sense to have a default setting here in settings where you can, okay, and then you can
You can override that in the usage data host. That would make sense, yes. And we should actually. Maybe you just need two different settings for retrying. Maybe one for exception 1011, which is special, and the other ones for the other cases. So that might be an option, which would be much simpler than doing that per exception. But then you could get rid, if you put a retry interval and a larger limit on the exception 1011, you would get rid of that endless loop. And I think that was the main concern. But maybe we should discuss this when the developer is available.
It makes more sense if he is here in this group.
But you could discuss with him whether it makes sense to handle exceptions 1000 and 1010 in the same way as 1020. So that's something that came to my mind when I saw that there is a proposal how this should be handled.
So a little hint for the group. We have a separate page, extract data for usage, and here you can see how you can extract all providers or counter reports with error codes. And if you need an overview of all your error codes in your system, then you can go to this page and see how you can extract the data. And it's very helpful to analyze your errors, and you can use different methods. One is to call, make an API call, and the other one, if you have an access to your database, then you can also create a query in your database. Here is just an example for this, and then you get a list of all providers with their error reports and what is the reason of the error. It's a field in inside the JSON, and it's called a failed reason. And then you can analyze why there was an error in the harvesting process.
That's just when there was an exception from the provider, or does this also cover when the report
All
could be processed?
errors.
Okay, that's great.
So, and if you use MetaDB, I'm not sure, then you can use this one. But this is an SQL query if you have access to your Folio database, and you only have to change the prefix for your institution here in line 10 and 12. That's the table names. And then you can run the query on your database, and then you get a report. It should not take some time. I run this here in Leipzig, and we have very, very, very much data here, and I think 3 minutes is the time for this query. In normal libraries, and you should use these filters here, and because it's the reports are very nested for a counter report, and if you don't use the filter, then you run a query that need 10 years. So, but with the filter, you only have 3 minutes, I think, in normal use cases.
Yeah, if it has a parameter that needs to be adapted, maybe you could provide that as a function.
Yes.
I think that's the usual way for MetaDB, if I remember correctly.
You can create an user-defined function for MetaDB, and then you can use this UDF inside the application reporting app from IndexData when you use MetaDB, and then you can set the parameters inside the UI from this app and can run the query, and then you can also get the list. But you need some knowledge about creating UDFs. But there is an instruction here. So let's see. That's an repository from the reporting SIG, and here is a wiki. And I've wrote this in the last year. I can share this here in the chat. And you can find an instruction how you can create UDFs and how you can use this with MetaDB. It's seems complicated, but it's not. If you read this, it's very simple to do this. So, and if you are familiar with SQL queries, then it's very easy. So, okay, do we have other points? Okay, we skipped this point for today, and I think we have only 9 minutes, and that's not enough for the other points here. But for you, as information, we have a little discussion. Should we implement a functionality to, support multiple harvester accounts per provider? It's an approach that we can do. It's also done in Alma ex libris, and I know Bernd, your opinion is to have one provider and one release, and
Yeah,
but
the question is that one harvesting account per release, or would it be also possible to have multiple accounts for one release? Because in my opinion, or in my experience, that's always a problem if you have multiple accounts for the same usage data host.
Yeah, it's an idea, and we can just discuss this in the next meetings. Because I only heard, two positions about this, and but if we have more opinions here, then we can make a decision. Should we do this, or should we strike through this, and it's not implemented in. So, and the other one is, it's planned for umbrella leaf here to extend information from counter exceptions. And and the other point, S3 object cloud storage support. It's more a requirement from Martina, and I think I can contact her to hear more about this requirement, and maybe she can attend one meeting here and say more about this requirement. The idea behind this is to like in agreements that you store your data not in the database, instead in the AWS or other S3 object cloud storage to make it's easier to update the system.
Yeah, but that would only affect the actual report document. The extracted data that you need for reporting in the system still would have to be in the database.
That's a thing that also it important for the plugin. If you store the data in S3 object cloud storage, then we need an bridge between the S3 object cloud storage and the plugin. So, and but maybe it's not relevant if the matching data is stored in the database. So but we have to see how it works at the end.
Is there a Jira for that?
I'm not sure. Is there a I'm not sure. I can look at this, and we can talk So we have 5 minutes. It's good to plan the new meeting or the next meeting. It's vacation time in December, so in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
So you want to meet again on either December 8th or 15th?
Yes.
Both states would work for me.
And he was it's okay for you. Okay, then I think it's a good idea to meet in 3 weeks, and so and we
If you
have
don't need any input for finishing something that has to be delivered until the end of the year, that's fine.
yeah it's yeah we have we do this in umbrella leave, so we have enough
Yeah.
time. So, and yeah, and it's also a good point, Bernd. The other, can you also review this draft here of the new functionality of the harvester? If you see some points that you say there is a question, or you see, there should be an additional part in this data flow, then you can talk about this. And we are in a phase where we are design a new backend for the harvester, and we would like to handle all COP codes individually. And so we have now the chance to define how all these codes should be handled by the system. So, and if you see some additional points, then we can talk about this and we can later implement it.
Yeah, my understanding is this is a general handling, not just for code of practice exceptions. Is that correct?
Can you repeat the
Yeah, my understanding is that this is for all kinds of exceptional things, not just for the counter exceptions.
Yeah,
So
that's
for
right.
example, if you get an HTML as an answer, instead of a JSON, then you can, of course, cannot handle that file, but that would be an exception. And that's why there is this first point COP exception, yes or no. So this is a more general error handling, not just for the COP exceptions.
Okay. I think that's for today, and I hope I can talk with the backend developer tomorrow, and that he can attend in the next meeting. Yeah, I think it was not planned that he is on vacation today. So, and yeah, and I hope he can attend then when we meet again. Yeah, then have a nice day for today, and then we see you in 3 weeks.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.